going on, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What You're Talking About, the official radio show of Arizona State's ACHA Women's D1 hockey team. We are back after we took last week off. Again, you know, we have a busy, very busy schedule, but, you know, we're back. Chase Beardsley, alongside Parker Bay. Parker, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, big road trip coming up for this team, so we'll get into that shortly.
Yeah, very big road trip coming up, and they just ended their extended home stand. It lasted, I believe, 11 games, dating all the way back to, I believe, it was November. So no more home games, unfortunately, for ASU as they round out their final couple games of the 2024-2025 season. And of course, we do have a couple games to go over here. Team obviously played, I think, last or a couple weeks ago. They had played four straight games, including against, at the time, number four Midland. And then they played last week as well. And Parker, we were at most of these games. Yeah, a lot to go over. Let's go over Thursday's game first against Midland. Again, this was a top team in the league. These are games that ASU must win in order to make the national tournament, especially at this point of the season where they find themselves and now at number 11, but they were lower before that week. I believe, where were they at? Midland was at 4. And Arizona State was at 14 before this game took place, and man, it was a game to remember. Kylie Brown opens up the scoring on the power play, and that was in the first period. Second period, Sky Thompson for Midland, and Kylie Brown rounded it out on the power play, and they held it down. And during the third period, Quinn Inger made incredible save after incredible save, 49 saves off 50 shots. And this is the Quinn Inger we're used to seeing, especially last year against Liberty. Big win, 2-1 win against number four. Parker, what did you think of this game?
Yeah, I think this was the game when they were the players that were playing in Italy came back. So Kylie Brown and Quinn were still going for Team USA. And, you know, they were their two best players in that game. And both of Kylie Brown's goals came on the power play. Both, I believe she scored two power play goals against Arizona, too, in their latest game. So she has 11 goals on this season now. So she, all of her points are goals, which is crazy. 11 goals and no assists, which is wild. Pure goal scorer this year, and she's been great on the power play. Probably leads the team or is close to the top in power play goals for this Arizona State team this year.
Yeah, it's been impressive, her play. Obviously, both goals came on the power play, and power play has been a struggle at times for this Arizona State team during Midland. They were not. Kate Streak also had her first multi-point night of her career, to assist off Kylie Brown's goals. Lewis Swanson, Paige Ring also got assists. Again, shout out Quinn Inger. 49 saves off 50 shots. Just impressive. And all these players and Lindsay Ellis were, you know, just came back from Italy. So this was no easy task, and they did it, and they did it well. Trying to look at power play stats real quick. Power play 2-for-6 for ASU, 0-for-4 for Midland, so that is a stat to look out for. And next game, 2-1, but instead it was on the opposite side. Sydney Paulson got the scoring started very early. In the first period, Taylor Burmeier gets the assist. And then it was all Midland from there. Grace Page scores in the power play, and Molly McCurrich in the third period scored, a couple minutes left. And that was a very unfortunate loss, 2-1 loss to Midland. Although, again, you keep the number four team to a goal. That was a tough game because ASU was in it. Another 48 saves by Quinn.
Yeah, when you let 50. Up over 100 shots, in the two games, you're probably not going to win both, considering Midland, I think, doubled their shots, if not more in the first game. In this game, it was basically double the shots, too, 50 to 28. So when you get outshot that much, there's very slight chance you'll win both games. They were lucky to win at least one, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Parker. The fact that they were getting outshot by a ridiculous amount and Quinn hung in there both games just tells how good Quinn is and how much better ASU needs to be. This kind of represented what happened with the team last year during Nationals, and that was, you know, the team getting outshot, but, you know, Quinn just bailing them out, and this was another, you know, variation of it.
I will say, though, that these two games, they were just – Midland was firing from wherever. Like, they're a team that just shoots from whenever, wherever, and, you know, it's not a bad strategy, but it's sometimes deceiving when you look at the shot totals. Like, I wasn't there for the second game, but the first game, a lot of the shots were coming from the outside, and ACU had a really good structure that game, negating a lot of these second-chance rebound opportunities for sure.
I agree with you. Something that Midland does have that ASU doesn't have is a lot of defensemen can shoot well on net with a powerful
heavy shots.
Shot.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
I would say the only couple of defensemen that can really do that for ASU, I know Amanda Benson has a good shot. She has other things she has to work on, but she has a very good shot. I would say she's one of the only defensemen that can really put it on net with a powerful shot. And
Hannah's been working on her shot.
Hannah has.
It's improved.
Yes, I
it's
agree.
Getting
with
there.
I agree with you, actually. I think she's, you know, improved. I think
her dad
year.
Mentioned at one of the games, she, like, over winter break, she was shooting, like, a ton of pucks every day, and we could tell, and, you know, when we got back. So, you know, her shot's starting to sneak up there.
Yeah, shout out Cancun's. But yeah, I agree with you, actually. Her shot has looked a lot better. I would say those two would be the only ones that really compare to what we saw from Midland. Mm-hmm. And I think Midland knows that, and that's why a lot of the shots did come from the blue line.
Yeah.
So ending the Midland series, ASU, you know, not a sweep, but they do win one, and they do come within one of tying Midland up in the second game. And that's very important because goal differential does determine where rankings are placed. And because of these two wins, ASU's catapulted to 11 from 14. We'll talk about rankings in a second, but that was a huge series for ASU. Going on UMass, this was an interesting game. It was kind of like the reverse of what happened the couple games before. ASU wins the first game 3-2. Riley Evans starts the scoring off on the power play for UMass in the first period. Kylie Brown, second period. So that makes it 3 goals in 3 games up to this point. 8 goals in the season so far for her. Kate Streak, Ellie McKenna assist on that. Joanna Dustin, I should say. Power play a goal right after for UMass. Sam Murphy scores her 6th goal of the season. Again, Kate Streak, another multi-point night. She's been getting a lot better. Bree Powell also assists on that one. And then Ellie McKenna, the captain, scores on the power play. And that is the game-winning goal to give ASU a 3-2 win over UMass. Quinn Anger, not a shot-heavy night. 25 shots, 23 saves. Meanwhile, Mary Honan, she had 48 shots. And she made 45 saves. So very impressive night for her. ASU 1-for-3 on the power play. UMass 2-for-4. Special teams were really good for both teams. I forgot if you were at this game.
I was at the – I think this was the game where you missed the first period. I think because I wasn't at the second UMass game. I was at the first one, and they scored their first goal on the power play, and they were the better team the first period. I think they were – I don't know how the numbers, but they were outshot for sure in that first period. And like you said, it was kind of the flip script where – ASU didn't get a ton of shots on goal, but they did enough in the end to pull away. And I said this before this series happened. In the past, ASU's had really good success against UMass, and the games weren't close. But we looked at their schedule, and we were like, this series is going to be a lot closer than, you know, games in the past against UMass. And they're right behind Arizona State in terms of the independent teams. I think ASU is 22 points. They have the same amount of points, but ASU has one more win. So, and they're still above them because they swept them this series. But UMass is, you know, starting to turn their program around a little bit.
Yeah, I will also mention that UMass has played a significant amount of games more than ASU.
Yeah, 4 to be exact. Yeah,
exactly. Shots were very interesting. 19-6 at the end of the first period for ASU in favor of ASU. And ASU outshot them every single period. So that is something that we haven't seen a lot against, you know, a lot of good teams in the past with ASU this season. So that was something that Lindsay Ellis was very happy that her team did. amount of shots definitely improved. Going on to the last game, this was at Mullet Arena, a 2-0 win for ASU. Again, first game at Mullet Arena since February of 2023, so a whole almost 2 years later. Lula Swanson scores the first goal at Mullet since then, assisted by Paige Ring and Mara Draper, who had a big weekend or a big couple weeks. Power play goal for Lula. Second period, nothing. And then third period, Kylie Brown continues her monstrous season. 9 goals now. Sam Murphy assists. A couple stats for you. This was Brooke Kimmel's first ever career shutout. 22 shots, 22 saves. So that was very awesome to see, you know, her come in and, you know, get her first shutout, especially against the UMass team that did give ASU some trouble. And this was Jess Dorovinas' first game since the 2023 Nationals in Boston. She hadn't played a game since that. I believe that was a game against Miami where ASU lost 3-2, I want to say, in the elimination game. So it was really good to see her back. She talks a little bit about, you know, how much it meant for her to be back on the ice and, you know, how awesome it's been to have all these players and coaching really help her throughout all the injuries that she faced. And it was an uphill battle. And we all knew Jess had the capability of becoming, you know, a great defenseman for this team. It was just about getting back. And I thought Jess actually had a really good game in her first game back. You know, at times, you know, skating was a bit, you know, rough. But, again, that's understood for being off for almost 2 years. So, yeah, any thoughts about this game? I know you weren't there, but
yeah,
cool to be back at Mullet Arena.
No, I think it was good for Brooke, obviously, getting that shutout. I remember her first game this year, her, you know, she was last second thrown under the fire, and, you know, she did her job only allowing one goal against Arizona in that 2-1 overtime game where Bree Powell capped that one off. So she's played in a lot of close games, which will only help her as her time goes on here at ASU.
I agree. So that ended ASU's week. That was a 4-game straight week for ASU, and they won 3 of them. Quite impressive. Again, 4 games in 4 days is not easy. They are going to play 5 games in 5 days next week, so that's going to be rough. But we do have one more game to go over, and you were at this one. Against Arizona, it was senior night at Mullet Arena, so second straight game at Mullet, and the last home game of the season. Mara Draper got it started off. That was her first goal of her Sun Devil career. We had been calling it, and finally happened. So Mara Draper, assisted by Lewis Watson and Paige Ring. Paige Bryan scores right after. Those goals were pretty close, and kind of saw the wheels fall off of Arizona. They did get a goal by Lily Howell, but then a big third period where Kylie Brown scores 2 identical goals, basically top shelf, both on the power play, and then Ellie McKenna on her night, assisted by Sam Murphy, who also on her night, and Georgia DeZane on the power play, to win it 5-1. Have to mention the amount of former Sun Devils that were on the opposing team. Carson Hellman obviously played her first game as a Wildcat. Rough one for her. Brittany Burdell also played again in Tempe. We saw her back in, what was it, November or something. Mm-hmm. And then Riley Armstrong as well. Gotta mention the seniors. It was great to see the seniors really, you know, perform. Ellie McKenna, Sam Murphy, and Sydney Paulson all looked good. And this was their last game at Tempe. All have meant tremendous things to the program. Last year, you know, there were quite a bit of seniors, and there were quite a bit of seniors that meant a lot to this program, like Jill Ketchum, Sammy Lush, Berkeley Radcliffe. There were a couple other ones that I can't list off the top of my head. But these three have been some of the most pivotal and foundational members of this ASU core. These are the players that basically helped them get to their first WWCHL title, and without them, they wouldn't be there. So it was really good to see them honored. You know, they meant a lot to this program. We'll have more on them, you know, in episodes to come. But what did you think of this game, Parker?
Yeah, getting back to the senior night, you know, going into the year, Ellie McKenna was the captain. We didn't know who was going to be some of those alternate captains, and I thought it was great that Sam and Cindy were both named assistant captains. You know, they've been, like you mentioned, so important to this team over the years, and you know, it was good to see that Ellie and Sam got on the score sheet, and unfortunately Sid didn't, but you know, they've been so important to this team.
I will say Sydney looked very physical out there. She played a great two-way game. You know, we saw a check among the board on her former teammate. So that was you know, a big moment of that game. But again, another win for Quinn. And ASU is now at 10-5-2 in the season in 17 games played. Again, they are tied with UMass for the independent division. It's not really a division, but, you know, it's out of the five independent teams, they're obviously doing the best. They're not like Washington, who's 0-5 now.
It's their first year, though,
their first year, yeah. Looking around the league, Midland continues to impress. They have 45 points, 22 wins. McKendree, 20 wins, 42 points. Adrian College, we'll talk about them in a second. Man. 23 wins, 49 points. Again, a lot of these teams that ASU is really going to try to beat in the coming weeks. And we have a couple minutes to talk about the upcoming schedule. Let me go through the rankings real quick. We haven't been through them in a second. At number one, Liberty University, the no one surprise. Number two, Adrian College, who we'll get to in a second. Number three, Maryville. Number four, McKendree. Number five, Midland. Number six, Minot. Number seven, Indiana. Number eight, University of Michigan, Dearborn. Number nine, Niagara. Number 10, Miami. Number 11, ASU. So they are right outside the top 10. But a reminder to all of our listeners that it's basically the top eight that make it, because there are two conferences that get automatic buys into the Nationals, including WWCHL, who none of their teams are ranked. We'll see about the other conferences, but no WWCHL team is ranked. So that means they're going to definitely have to make it within the top nine. And a couple wins could do that for them. Number 12, Lindenwood. Number 13, Michigan. Number 14, Jamestown. And number 15, Michigan State. And let's talk about the road trip just real quick. Let's talk about it. Five games on the road in Michigan. They'll start off with number two, Adrian College. And that is going to be the pivotal game of the season. It could basically decide if this team makes Nationals. Taking down the top two team in the rankings could jump them up tremendously. They did it before back in November against McKendree. So they definitely could do it again. I think Adrian's a better team. We'll see what happens, though. They are the defending ACHA champions. They will also play Michigan, who is also ranked. That could get them up just a tad bit. But again, that Adrian College game is really going to be pivotal. They play Grand Valley State twice in a row, and then they cap off the road trip with Michigan Dearborn, another pivotal game. They are ranked within the top 10. So you have three games you absolutely must win. I mean, Grand Valley, obviously, you have to win those. But those are five straight games that will decide ASU's spot in Nationals or in the rankings. Again, I can't stress enough, this will decide if they go to St. Louis in March or not.
They haven't won a road game, a true road game, yet this year either.
They have not.
Throw that out there. They've been home for a majority of their season.
So, like Parker mentioned, they did go on a five-game road trip, yearly, Missouri road trip, where they lost all five games, and that really put them in a hole. They did hold a couple of these teams to a goal, but again, it really started off rough with a 6-0 loss to Maryville and a 5-1 loss to Lindenwood. The only game that they've won on the road was against GCU, and again, that was within Arizona. Every other game they've played at home. So this will be a true test for Lindsey Ellis, like none before, and this team, because, again, this team is completely new, and this is a big, big test. What are some things ASU has to do on this road trip to try to win these games? And I know I've stressed enough how important these games are, Parker, but I want to hear your opinion on yours.
I think it's getting the first goal. I think their struggles on that first road trip was getting on the board early. They were always playing from behind and having to come from behind and try to win on the road too. It's not gonna. That's a tough recipe for success on the road. And I think it's keeping players fresh. You have five games over 5 days. You know, get some new faces in the lineup for that bottom six. So that they're ready to go. I think the big thing is just getting the first goal in these games is really going to dictate, especially against these teams like Adrian and Michigan Dearborn. These are two of the teams, like you mentioned, in the top eight. So they're going to have to get off to fast starts on the road here.
I'll go real quick because we are running out of time. Power play needs to be consistent. It's been inconsistent all year. It needs to have a very good consistent pressure here. They need to score on the power play, and that's something they've, you know, kind of struggled to do, especially against national ranked teams. They did against Midland. They need to do it here. The second thing is getting shots on net. They have really struggled to get shots on net against these teams. They've allowed a lot of shots on net. Again, you can't do that against these nationally ranked teams. You can do that against GCU, UMass, and probably hold on. But against Adrian College, the defending champions, you can't do that. So I would say power play consistency and then shot volume, I would say, are the two things that ASU really needs to work on. They also need scoring from their depth, which we haven't seen a lot this year. That's a very critical thing. We need Evelyn Olsen to step up. We need other players to step up. If they can't step up, it's going to be the Sam Murphy show, the Kylie Brown show, and it can't be one player holding it together. So real quick, I want to get your predictions and first goal scorer on the red.
Let's just get this back up real quick. Man, it's tough. This three-game stretch. Chase, what do you? I think they need at least three, maybe even four out of this to keep their hopes alive, right?
I think they definitely need to win at least. They need to either keep it close against Adrian.
It probably has to be four.
I would say four out of five.
That's gonna be tough.
I think those Grand Valley games could be somewhat easy compared to the other ones.
Yeah.
It's the other three that's going to be tough. I'm going to predict real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think they win against Michigan. I think they keep it really close against Dearborn. That's the one I'm on a coin flip.
Yeah.
I think that Adrian College game is just too tough.
And it's a Wednesday night at 7.
I do think they keep it somewhat close.
I think they do, but I don't think they're
going to. I don't think they win. So I think they will win. I think they could win 4 out of 5. It's that Michigan-Dearborn game that's going to be really tight. It's going to be a coin flip. It will show. But if they win 4 out of 5 and keep it close with Adrian, I think it will boost them in the rankings. Yeah.
I just can't see them winning 4 out of 5 playing 5 days in a row, so I'll go 3-2 on the weekend. And then in terms of first goal scorer, it's got to be one of the veterans, so I'll go with Sam Murphy.
I'm gonna go with Paige Ring. I'm gonna say she scores the opening goal. She's been quiet in terms of goal scoring. I think on the road in the past she's been really good. I think it'll come alive against Adrian College. Again, very, very critical matchup coming up. They do end the season later on the road against Arizona, but it's these games that will determine the outcome of their season and determine if they will go to St. Louis or not. And that will pretty much do it for this week's edition of Wichita Timeout. You can follow me, ChaseBeardsley_ on Twitter and ChaseBeardsleySports on Instagram. Parker, where can they find you?
They can find me at Parker Bay on Twitter.
And you can find Wichita Timeout on all podcasting platforms. We'll be back probably next week, if not next week, because it's Michigan. We will be back shortly, every Wednesday at 7. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.